Hi guys, welcome back to the pod. This is episode 2, but we've officially got a name. Jane, do you want to tell them the name?
Tacticos.
So it is the Tacticos.
Tacticos.
You told me in the practice it's not Tacticos. Tacticos. And now you're saying the same.
You put cancer on that word, bro. You literally... It's one of those words, you know, you say it so many times, you forget how to say it often.
Yeah. It's true. The Tacticos. The Tacticos. It's official.
The Tacticos, that's it.
100%. We've basically created an Instagram channel as well, so go follow that page, and if you obviously have any comments and whatnot, any suggestions, go hit us up on there, and we'll be reading them out soon. So, yeah, appreciate it. But, Jane, another crazy weekend. North London Derby, probably the biggest game of the weekend, to be fair. And obviously United, Burnley, United getting the first win in a while, and decent performance. But I think we should start, obviously, the biggest game of the weekend, the North London Derby. Tough game, ended a 2-2 result, honestly. So I'll give you my take on it. After the game, I'll be honest, this is the first time in a while that obviously Spurs have come to the Emirates playing a brand of football that's not Conte or Mourinho style. You know what I mean? Usually kind of just hit us on the counter, and they had Kane in previous seasons where it would kind of go to him, and then you know it's going to either go to Son or whoever's on the right hand side. Normally, obviously, it's been Kulusevski. I'm trying to think who has been before, but. Regardless, it's just kind of this. That's the kind of been the style of play. So obviously you get nervous, and it's a derby. It's at the Emirates. They usually at the Emirates early on in the season. But they came, and obviously they've been playing a brand of football now. They're getting behind Ange. They've kind of made some signings, and the players are doing well. They've kind of got a little bit more of a team structure. And I guess Spurs fans are a bit more hopeful in obviously what they were going to experience. So to say that, I mean, 2-2 wasn't a bad result. It was a fair result, to be fair. I thought we had more of the better chances, especially in the first half, especially with Jesus and then Nketiah kind of missed up. Yeah, it was a weird angle ball, one-on-one, I'd say. You know what I mean? So I'm not upset we came back with a draw. I'm upset that we came back with a draw, but we should have got more out of it. But 2-2 were probably a fair result. What was your take?
Yeah, it's probably fair. I think you guys have rid you a lot earlier.
Yeah, fair.
You know, like, you have had games where, like, you've been a bit like, maybe you should have dropped points or maybe a different outcome to a game or something like that. And then you've kind of, you know, kind of met your match or kind of is caught up with you in that sense. I thought Spurs played really well. I didn't really expect them to come out, put that kind of performance. Obviously, we've seen them do it against like lesser teams, but obviously when you go away, derby factor, Arsenal as well. So fair play to them. I think obviously the key players that we all thought might step up did step up. You know, Son, Madison, Romero played well. I think Bissouma and Sarr played fantastic as well.
Bissouma was amazing.
For those two, quality held it down perfectly. So yeah, I thought it was a really good game, really good spectacle to watch. And obviously, interesting to see them, how they kind of trickle themselves forward in season. Obviously, the biggest issue with them is always going to be depth. You know, like if Madison gets injured, then what? And that's always been Spurs' thing, right? Yeah, got subbed off. Obviously, I think with Arsenal, I think like tactics, bit at question. I think team selection, another one, bit at question there as well.
To be fair, obviously... Martinelli was out. I think he's got a hamstring injury. Trossard was the ideal replacement for him, apparently. And obviously, he got injured before the game. Not ideal. But it's funny because we were talking in the group chat, who would we kind of start instead of Martinelli? But I said Jesus, because I think he's just more dynamic than Trossard. He's just got a bit more physical attributes that Trossard probably don't have.
Yeah.
Which is why I probably picked him ahead of Trossard on the left. And then Nketiah is obviously, I think, a bit, obviously just way, way better down the middle than any other position. So I was going with Jesus in general. But I don't know. I thought we could, I guess, especially against Udoji and Poro, who are a bit more attack-minded, I thought we would have more space in the positions. But the way Sarr and Bissouma covered ground so quickly, you could see why they're playing so well this season. And then just letting Maddison do his bits, obviously, in the attacking third.
Yeah, so, I think the biggest issue is obviously that midfield balance. You know, I think you've played Havertz that game. He's not really cut it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so was there something else? Partey on the bench?
Partey's injured. No, Partey's not available. Rice obviously came off at half time. That was probably the biggest blow, you know, because obviously, if we break down the game, we went obviously 1-0 up through Saka. Obviously, it was an own goal in the end. It's just one of them ones. I don't really blame Romero much. Maybe his balance was off, obviously, where he was facing whatnot, but there's not much you can do in it. And then we were on top, and then they kind of just found a way to kind of slow the game down, played that at their own pace, got their little triangles, got their style of play. And they were doing some good stuff in the last, what, 10, at least 15 minutes of the game before halftime. And obviously, they got rewarded with a goal by Son. I don't know how he scored that, because there were, what, like two or three defenders, including the goalkeeper, way. And obviously, Son finds a way to score.
It's a quality player.
Yeah. It's just, you know, he knows how to find space in the box.
Yeah.
And now that he's playing in the nine position a bit more, he's obviously getting used to kind of more incisive runs instead of kind of just bombing down the wing a bit more. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, he's obviously had their intelligence before, but they obviously got their level up just before half time, which was fair. I think 1-1 was fair, especially when they played second half or first half. It was probably fair to go into the break 1-1. And then obviously, what did you think about the penalty? Did you think it was? As an Arsenal fan, obviously you're gonna scream on the TV and whatnot. But I thought his hand was a bit high. Like, his hand's too high. If he was a bit more closer to his body, I'd understand if he wasn't given. But
yeah, I think given the rules and what it is, I think it's a penalty. Yeah, I think because his hand's in that kind of position. But obviously, as a United fan, there's no sense of like consistency. You know, there was one same person, Romero. This guy's doing the YMCA, bro. His hands are both his hands are in the air, and mine's like, nah, that's not a penalty. And then did you see that clip of that Dermot? What's his name, Dermot?
Gallagher.
Dermot Gallagher, yeah, the ref. That guy's the biggest waste man ever, bro. I don't know why they people feel like, yeah, let's listen to this guy or even ask him a question. They asked him that exact same question. Garnacho shot, same player, Romero. Why is that not a penalty? And why was Romero's penalty? And he goes, oh, because Romero's one was going into the goal and that one wasn't going in the goal.
No, but that's nonsense.
That is nonsense. Yeah. This guy just made his own rule, bro. How are you deeming what's going in the goal or not, bro?
Yeah,
like he literally just made his own rule. So, but it's just lack of consistency.
Yeah. He has no credit. And you're right. There is lack
obviously
of consistency.
I think the bigger talking point was is the red card that should have probably happened. Nketiah 2 footer on Vicario.
Ooh, yeah. Initially, I didn't think it was that bad, but obviously in the replay, he could have broken his leg. Like, if he planted his leg, it could have been serious.
That was a red, like, and that could have been a bit of a game changer there, because I think that was 60-70 minutes into the game.
Was that 1-1? I'm not too
yeah
sure.
It was 2-2 at that
was
point.
It 2-2 then it was 2-2 yeah, you're right, it was 2-2.
And then yeah, he's gone and done that. You know, if that had gone the way it should have gone in terms of a red card, I suppose could have potentially gone on and won that. I think
they had some good chances.
I think you lacked that physicality in the game. You know, you didn't have Rice was gone, so you lost it on there. Partey wasn't playing, and obviously you're coming up against Sarr and Bissouma, and your midfield was Odegaard, Havertz and Jorginho.
Yeah, like, it's not great. It's not great.
That would get steamrolled by anyone, like, of any form of physicality.
It was, I mean, this is the problem now. Obviously, we were gassed to go. Obviously, Saka took the penalty well and whatnot. And obviously, I think it was weird because the commentator said we're celebrating too much, which is, I don't think is, you know, it's a derby. You know, you're obviously going to over-celebrate a bit. But, and then the thing is, Jorginho makes that mistake and I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. Because I missed the mistake he actually made until the replay after. I realised he was just dwindling on the ball. Just doing some nonsense to try and see get some space.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I was just like,
I just don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, you're here to control the game and you're doing some, I don't know.
He had the ball and then he flinched once trying to play a pass. Mm. Flinched a second time. Third time he got nabbed.
Yeah, it's done.
You know, like, it's done. So obviously the more time he was faffing around with it, flinching, whether I should pass it or not, the space had become less and less where he could pass.
100%.
And he's just slow and he's weak. Yeah. You know, so he's not the best person you want to be doing that kind of stuff.
This is the thing. His recovery pace is non-existent.
Yeah.
So, you know, what, you know what I mean? What are you going to expect? If you lose the ball, especially because Gabriel was in the left-back position, obviously Ben was in the right-back position, they were never going to get back. It was Kevin Saliba. Saliba won on 2-on-1. You weren't expecting, Joey. You weren't expecting much. So it was just one of the. What, do you know what pissed me off more is just the fact that obviously it happened straight after we scored. So we didn't even have a chance to kind of make our own counter, essentially, Joey, because they had to come on to us. So I don't know. I think it was just fair results. I think the biggest opportunity was actually in the first half where Jesus nabbed the ball off Madison and he absolutely roofed it.
Yeah,
I don't know what the fuck he was doing.
But with Jesus, he has those tendencies of like scoring the most amazing goal, mm-hmm. and then he'll miss the easiest chance for. And like true. We've seen it so many times at Man City, where a lot of his goals and a lot of his opportunities were inside the box, and they were like, "What the fuck, bro? Like, how the fuck did you miss that?" And obviously with Arsenal, he's got a bit more freedom. He's having to do a bit more kind of like, you know, moments of brilliance. So scoring obviously these type of goals to kind of overcompensate for the other side of this game, but yeah, I think with Jesus you're always going to get that kind of factor.
Well, it's funny because I've seen a lot of things on Twitter where we're saying we needed a striker essentially for moments like this where we can put it in the box or we can kind of have a bit more physicality, just another dimension as well. So it's one of the ones where, you know what I mean, we kind of know Jesus is just that type of player. And then Kelly, I think Kelly had a good chance in the first half as well, where Adoji passed it back awkwardly. And obviously, I mean, he could have put it back, but I don't think he was ever going to put it back. You know what I mean? He was going to take the shot. But yeah, 2-2. I mean, I can't really complain. It was a fair result in the end. We could have lost it.
To your title challenge, it's not.
In the bigger picture, it's not. Do you know what I mean? If you take the game as a single, it's fair. But those are the games. If we're expecting our squad to be ready for a Premier League title challenge, we can't be accepting these. Do you know what I mean?
Especially you can't. Yeah, like when United were winning the league, I think the rule of thumb is you basically 18 games at home that you play. Sorry, 19 games at home that you play. You get 30. What is it? How much is it at home? You basically win all the games.
You win all the games, yeah.
So, 57 points? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you win all those games, you know. Like, that was the rule of thumb. You know, if you win all your home games, and you do kind of 60, 70% away win rate, you generally kind of win the league.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you've already kind of dropped points twice now at home. Fulham, and then now Tottenham.
Spurs, isn't it? Yeah.
So, and obviously, it's always against when you're playing these type of teams, you have to win that home game, man. Like, because you can kind of then compensate slightly for then losing away, you know, because then, you know, it's a six-pointer, naturally, isn't it? Because you picked up 1 point today, but now you have to go to their pitch and win.
Yeah, that's the thing. Otherwise, 2 points is not enough.
Yeah, you have to go to that pitch and win. So, you know, and then there's other bigger teams there. So that kind of fixture, you know, you probably want to maximize on that front. And then mm-hmm. when you play like the Man City in a couple of weeks' time that you are, you know, maybe you can go get away with a draw. But again, that Man City game's at home. You have to win that. You know,
well, this is the thing. Basically, to win the league, you have to score crazy points. Now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, you have to basically match City's result.
Yeah.
Wherever the fixture is, you have to match the result, essentially, to be in, or better, obviously, to be in the shot of winning the league. I think this kind of shows, especially with Rice going off at halftime, bringing Jorginho on, it shows that, and obviously part of being injured, it shows us the depth and quality in that position is so key. And Jorginho making mistakes like this, it just is not, Jorginho is not good enough, essentially. So,
when you signed him, you know what you're going to get. You signed him from Chelsea, guy's like 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably slower than a 60-year-old. Like,
yeah.
Like, I still just don't understand what he does, like, in terms of a signing. Like, he just does not fit the player attributes that you need. You need someone physical. Like, surely go spend that. How much are you signing for? 5 million? 10 million or something?
Yeah, something more.
Go sign some 10 million random guy from, like, France, bro, who's, like, 21 years old,
mm-hmm.
and just tell him, look, all you have to do is defend, don't move from this spot, and you're playing sideways passing. That's it.
But this is the thing. I think because Arteta signed Lokonga for that position, I believe anyway, and obviously that didn't work out. Physically, Jorginho's not there, but technically he's there, and I think that's what Arteta likes. But the problem I have is he can't play in a lone six. It just doesn't work, I think. He can play, yeah, no, but there's someone next to him. Jimmy, if there's a party next to him, Rice, that's how it works. It should. That's how they complement each other, where they can just control the game. He can't play in a lone six because if we make mistakes in that sort of area, you're going to get punished.
And that's you need someone to compensate for his lack of physicality.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure he came on against United, I believe. I might be wrong.
Yeah.
Because I think he was with Rice, I believe. Yeah. Obviously, just controlling the game a bit more. But 2-2 at the Emirates, we move on. Obviously, we could have lost the game, but it is what it is. We kind of just obviously move on to the next game, and obviously, hopefully, the injury to Rice is not that bad, because that's if he's injured and Partey's injured, that's when it's a big problem. Especially if you're gonna play Jorginho now. Do you know what I mean? It's just gonna be a bit of an issue.
Yeah,
big issue. And obviously, we got obviously we'll come on to City a bit later on, but yeah, man, we've got a big game with them in the next few weeks as well. So let's move on to your beloved United. Finally getting a victory at Turf Moor. Great goal. What a goal by Bruno.
Yeah. But yeah. Fantastic. Captain. Fantastic, man.
Johnny Evans as well with an assist.
He played amazing, bro. He played really well. I think I've been asking for Hannibal to play for a long time. He played.
He was
probably one of our best players. He just needs energy in that team. You know, you need legs. Eriksen don't provide the legs. The rest of the players are injured. McTominay is a nothing player anyway. Doesn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we'll probably play with a man less when he's playing. That's how shit he is. So he's finally gone and actually given the kid a chance, you know. So, and it's kind of reaped its rewards. You know, the moments where United looked dangerous on that game, it came through him. You know, he was winning the ball in the final third, either making the tackles in our own third, you know, then starting a counter-attack from there. And it looks very good. You know, it's quite promising. Obviously, the other good thing from us is Amrabat's made some minutes, coming back from injury, Mount's back in training now. There was another player as well. I can't remember. There was one more.
Varane.
That's the big one. Yeah, Varane is the big one. Yeah. So getting some players back now. So the list went up to 11 players unavailable, which is basically a full 11. You know, now I think we're down to 8. No, 8 And then someone got injured as well in that game, Reguilón. So hoping Reguilón's injury is not that bad, because he's been one of our better players as well.
Malacia and Shaw are still injured.
Yeah, so Shaw's expected to be out for until November,
Oh
but
yeah, he's a
Sancho is
midfielder.
unavailable. You've got Antony,
Oh
obviously
yeah, of
Mount,
course.
Amrabat,
Yeah.
Varane.
Martinez.
Yeah, Martinez, and that added onto that list. Wan-Bissaka, Shaw, Malacia. That's and then there was a few more, I think. That
Possibly a
I'm
few
not.
more youngsters or no? Still.
I think there was
Martial? No, Martial counts.
Maguire's now injured. That's
Martial,
10.
yeah, Maguire.
Well, I don't know if that's an injury or that's a fake injury because of all the onslaught that he's been in recently.
He's been for England, bro, don't he? And
Yeah.
he'll be ready, don't he? He'll be like, I'm ready.
And
Whenever
then
he's on
was
the
I think that's it. Yeah, maybe 10. Maybe there's one more in there somewhere. But yeah, that's a lot of players not available for Ten Hag. So obviously, main thing was not the performance. It's just get 3 points on the board. And the second thing is clean sheet. So we got away with the clean sheet and 3 points. I think the playing comes after. When you've got so much pressure on you, you just have to focus on one thing and just get the win and get a clean sheet with it as well.
Yep,
And then
100%.
after that, you can focus on the rest of the stuff. I mean, good thing is now we've got Palace. We'll play them twice now because of this Carabao or EFL Cup. So we've got Palace on Tuesday.
Is that at
Hopefully
home?
rotates. Yeah, that's at home. Both games
Okay.
at home. So hopefully rotates so we can maybe get a few minutes from some other players, rest some of our key players as well. Again, that you just got to keep the momentum going now. You have to win that game. You can't lose. You can't get knocked out of the cup. Palace will probably put a first team on. We will rotate because we have to. Can't risk any more injuries. So I think we'll see a partial rotation. Wherever he can rotate. But yeah, again, we have to win that one. And then obviously on the weekend, Palace at home, just keep it rolling. You have to keep going again. So just get the win in and just kind of move on. And I think that's it really. There's not really much to discuss about United on that front. I think just keep it simple at the moment. Get the clean sheets, get the wins, just grind it out. Performance will slowly come when the players are coming in. Obviously, as fan base, what type of football he wants to play. Players have not been available for him to play that kind of football, because of the systems that he wants to play, given the current crop, it's not doesn't have the right balance. So I think with the available players coming back, I think we'll be able to shore up our defense a bit more, and going forward, have a bit more kind of options on that front. I think obviously the biggest issue for us is the defense. I don't think we've ever got the goals are coming. The opportunities are coming, just needs a bit of luck, just something to click, and then the goals kind of flow through. But if your defense is not good and you're not getting goals, you ended up like
It's
Sheffield
not
United,
great.
bro.
Exactly. You'll be shipping a lot of goals without even
Yeah,
doing nothing on the other end of the
exactly.
pitch. Do you know what I mean?
And
So.
that puts a lot of weight on as well. So I think if you can get the back right, the front can fix itself and sort itself out. And obviously now we've got a striker there. The striker is showing some really good attributes in terms of like pressing. He's got good ball distribution. His retention of the ball is really good. He's got dribbling aspects, got pace, and we can see he can finish as well. You just got to feed him, So he's looking like very good kind of player that accommodates the system. We just have to get everything functioning around him, to kind of get the goals now, which hopefully, fingers crossed, the next maybe 3 to 5 game weeks, we'll probably see a bit more.
This is the thing. I think obviously the game, the goal against Bayern obviously helped his confidence and whatnot, but it kind of felt, because obviously he came in for a big fee, it kind of felt like different signing, similar signings before, where United kind of signed a player and they're expecting him to hit the ground running straight away without everything else around him being fixed. Do you know what I mean? Where they expect, where they kind of put a lot of pressure on one player. So yeah, he's doing some good bits, and I think that's just the main thing for him, just to kind of like just do what he does right. And once he does that right, obviously his confidence will grow within the team. But like you said, I mean, if the defense is fine, he doesn't have to kind of feel the pressure a bit more that he needs to score more. Do you know what I mean? In terms of to win games and whatnot. So I might be wrong, but was Hannibal playing kind of in the middle? Because I seen Bruno on the right, I believe.
Yeah, so it wasn't, it was kind of like a, it's like this 4-4-2 diamond slash 4-3-3. So when we're kind of off possession, opposition has the ball, we go into this diamond, and obviously try and blockade the middle, and the midfield can very quickly spread out. And then when we're on the attack, it kind of quickly spurs out into this 4-3-3. You know, and that kind of where Rashford shifts a bit to the left and then Bruno goes out onto the right. But yeah, it's good. You know, I think Bruno needed that goal. There's been a lot of slack on him recently.
What a quality goal. That's what he has though, isn't it? That's the attributes he has, do you know what I mean?
His finishing, the thing with Bruno, like obviously he gets a lot of hate and like, oh, he's missing and all that stuff, but his underlying attributes are phenomenal. It's just the issue that if you watch the game deep enough, well, you've got some sort of level of understanding of football. Unfortunately for that type of player, he's contributing, he's having to contribute way too much defensively, which is having an impact on his attacking side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like ultimately you want him to play in that hole, you know, pick up the ball in the final third and redistribute. He's actually spending more time in the position of a six, you know, like in that role where we as United fans don't want to see him there. I don't think anyone wants to see him there, you know, because we know the numbers that he can pull out when he's actually given that freedom and there's people behind it. That season where he went on that phenomenal run and broke Lampard's record, we had McTominay and Fred behind him. So, you know, they're just basically two sitting players, like what Spurs are kind of doing right now, Bissouma and Sarr, two players that are just going to sit, not move, and then you've got Bruno Fernandes in front. So it's kind of like, all we got to do is just find him and then the rest will be done by him. Defensive work will kind of be done by these two. Obviously, there's a bit more fluidity, but hoping that once Amrabat comes into the team or Medri, oh, and then we've got Kobbie Mainoo that's out as well.
He's out for a while.
He looked like he was going to have quite a big part to play this season, which I still think he will. He's back in a couple of weeks. I still think he'll have a big part to play in the season. But it'll be interesting to see now how he plays at midfield because there's massive options what you can do with it. You know, you could take Casemiro out, you could play Amrabat, Kobbie Mainoo, Bruno Fernandes. You know, there's loads of options there. You know, so
is Kobbie just a DM or is he more of a...
So in the preseason, he played him in that DM position, like in the Arsenal game where he had your midfield unlocks.
On six, remember? In the six, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone compared him to what Rice's performance after he has seen.
I was expecting us to lose, and when I seen that team, I was like, that was a position I highlighted as a weak point. Like he can't handle that by himself because of inexperience. You know, he's not there yet, and he's still like 18 years old. But mate, the way he played that game was like phenomenal. But ultimately, the midfielders going forward will be, you know, where as a United fan, you think, okay, that's my crop of midfielders. With Bruno, unfortunately, you have Mount in there, but because you spent so much money on him, so he's going to have to stay in there.
Casemiro,
Amrabat, Kobbie Mainoo, and I would put Hannibal Medri in there as well. That's your six. And then McTominay can do one. Eriksen can do one as well. And we still got Van der Beek lingering around as well, like which I think he was going to get sold, but didn't work out. So
I think they've got an option to buy, I believe, but Sociedad. I might be wrong.
Yeah, so
but they might activate, you never know. I can't see him being on the club next season.
I don't think he went out on loan.
Did he not? I thought he was in he was going to Van.
I think he was, but I don't think it materialized.
Oh, did it not?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, so he's basically still at the club.
Yeah, he's still at the club. Yeah. So he's still an option, but an option that we won't see, you know, come into the team. So the midfield from actually being quite scrapped in terms of for options has gone the other way, where we've got too many options now. So, which is good because so far in the season, we've not had any options. So
especially in the midfield, you know what I mean? It has to be the same.
So many injuries.
So it's kind of being the same players playing every time. So obviously now you've got Palace in the cup. You've got a chance to see these guys, see what they're made of, see if they're kind of up to fitness and whatnot.
Do you know what I mean? The other factor that's a massive contributing factor as well, we played the most amount of games last season. We played 60-something games last season. And in comparison to Arsenal, you played like 46,
I think.
Something like that. Yeah. It has a big impact. And then from that, most of our players played in the World Cup. Bar a few. But most of our starting 11 were actually in the World Cup playing. So you had that kind of impact on there. And then our preseason was heavy. Like, we played about eight games.
You played in about eight countries or something.
Yeah, seven, eight games. So, and the break. And then there was international football straight after season finished. In terms of the actual break that some of these players have actually had, it's been like 3 weeks of break. Nonsense. So obviously, hence why we've seen all these injuries come in. The other thing is they're probably not used to that level of intensity, which no one probably is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all kind of fizzled itself in this position where they're tired, they're fatigued. We're not seeing that level of standards in terms of the games. And unfortunately, some of these guys needed to be rotated and then probably brought back into game week four, game week five.
Yeah.
But we've not had that option because of injuries. So hopefully from this game week onwards, the season actually kicks on now. Because we've been kind of playing catch up with injuries at the moment. But yeah, I think the issues are amplified significantly, obviously, because of just the lack of results. But ultimately, if you look at our losses, lost to Arsenal, lost to Tottenham away, and then Brighton at home we lost to. So Brighton,
easy
obviously,
games in general, do you know?
Not easy games. Brighton, out all those, you'd be the most disappointed because it's at home.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, you can't lose at home, basically, simple as, you know, that's just...
It's one of the ones, because obviously your record in the top nine last season away from home, that's why the Spurs game and the Arsenal games are more amplified, essentially, because of
before,
do you know what I mean, since last season. So if you take it as it what it is in terms of this, just the games, they probably, you know, you played well at Arsenal anyway. You're obviously just unlucky that Rice scored the goal at the end. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't one of the ones where you got battered. And obviously, at Spurs, you essentially had a good chance in the start, in first half. You take them, it's a different game. So, you know what I mean? It's kind of...
Spurs is one of those. Yeah, we take those chances, we bury them in the first half an hour. Like, we had so many chances, it was unreal.
Yeah, it's 2-3-0, like, essentially.
Yeah, it's just gone. The game is gone. You know, like, there's nothing that happens after that. But yeah, like, these are the moments that obviously define a game. And then, obviously, like, season as well, some points.
You've got good fixtures coming up, so hopefully what we should see is obviously wins or consecutive kind of points or journey centers, something to build upon for when I think you've got probably the next tough games of probably end of October, I think.
Yeah, and I think I think the main thing is the squad. You know, he needs the players there now, because he really does need the players. You know, some of these guys need a break, some of these guys need to be rotated out and brought back in, you know, have a bit of a rest. And that's the key thing. And I think his cards are played, you know, with who he can play, because there's no options. You know, you look at the bench, there's like under 18s coming through the bench. Most of our squad bench is like under 18s,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's got like two goalkeepers on there because he's struggling to put
exactly.
an extra outfielder.
Exactly.
So in that sense, yeah, I think we can see like, positive light. But yeah, I think this Burnley result was massive. That performance, forget it, doesn't matter. You know, you just had to go get the 3 points and win. I think like Fergie used to talk about it as well, like, you know, when they used to have heavy losses, the next game you just win and you get a clean sheet.
That's it. Yeah.
Because the heavy loss has a massive detrimental impact on the defense. You basically have to go back to square one with the defense, you know, because their confidence is whacked. You know, you have to basically go back to the foundations and get that clean sheet for them, you know, and then kind of instill it. And then after that, you can go back and start instilling your football and how you want to play.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, moving on from United, where do you want to go next? Should we go to City?
Should we just do the rounds?
We can do the rounds. Yeah, I suppose. Let's start off with City then. at home to Forest.
It looked like it looked like it was going to be a smoking, you know, that one. And then I think Roger, red card.
2-0 in the first 15 minutes. They were on it.
Honestly, and then the Roger red card.
Down this way. Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
it's a red card. Was, you know, no one disputes that. 100%. If you're going to... Casemiro got a red card for not the same thing, similar.
Similar, yeah. Last season, right?
Casemiro tried to move that guy out of the way to basically say, don't get involved in this scuffle.
Get out of the
way. Yeah, move out the way. And the player didn't even react, the player that he done it to. VAR decided to, let's have a look. You know, and they picked out this moment and obviously he got sent off. But
what VAR see is obviously his hands around the neck area.
Yeah.
That's what they see. They see a picture rather than the actual clip.
And then I think this is where VAR is a bit fucked, because they need to stop this snapshot shit and stop this bringing it down to like millisecond of a fucking frame.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
You know, run it in real time. You know, watch it a million times, but run it in fucking real. If you have to watch it 10 times, watch it 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, like, just run it in real time. Stop bringing it down into milliseconds, because we all know when you start breaking it down frame by frame, it's going to look fucking worse. Doesn't matter what the fuck it is.
Yeah,
it just looks way worse 100%. Than what it is.
Same with handballs and all that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If they're playing real time, realize the guy's hand is so close, it's not a handball, for example.
Yeah.
But what they do is, like what you said, they slow it down so much that they think, oh, that's it, it's hit the hand. They don't play it into the context of what the game is, essentially, what the clip is. So, yeah, I mean, it was a red card. The thing is, I was so baffled when I was watching the game. I was thinking, yeah, you know, City are going to come out second half, firing, whatnot. And obviously, Gibbs White and Rodri get into a scuffle. It was nothing, honestly, Jenny. It was nothing. There was nothing. The ball was going off. Throw in, for God's sake. Like, yeah. That's it. Then, obviously, Rodri gets a bit pissed. And the puts his neck, and that's it. This was within, what, the first 30 seconds of the second half?
Yeah.
And then that's it. I was thinking, this is obviously, I had Julian Alvarez captain on fantasy with Dan. And, I think they obviously ran the changes. And to be fair, Forrest had a few chances throughout the second half, to be fair, because obviously they were down to 10 men, putting a bit more pressure on. They've got a good bench and whatnot. So I thought they could have got something from the game. Maybe
Forest.
Probably 2-2. Yeah, Forest, they had to, honestly, if you watch the game, they had a few chances and they possibly could have got something from the game.
I was thinking the same.
Is it Awoniyi? He's a problem in general. Do you know what I mean? He's like a buffed Antonio. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, I thought they could have got something from the game. But obviously, City standard.
They've got some quality players, man. Forest,
yeah, man. Look at their squad. They look at this. They signed players that probably stacked. People are looking at.
It's quality.
If you look at their
squad. Gibbs White, you know, they've got Sangara in the midfield.
Sangara, they just signed here from PSV. They got. Who's there? They sold Brendan Johnson. They bought Spurs. In Elanga. They've got.
Elanga's got pace. Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah, they've got like that Danilo. They've got some good quality players in that.
Yeah.
I thought Matt Turner's been alright, to be fair, for them as well. They've got
goalkeeper,
yeah, he's been alright. Obviously, he wasn't in that number one. He was never going to be number one at Arsenal.
Yeah.
So fair play to him. He's just going to get some minutes and whatnot. He's done alright as well. So, yeah, their squad's looking stacked in terms of. They've got Origi. Yeah. I can't believe this. They've got someone else off the bench as well. But yeah, man, they got some Prem Premium players in there as well. So. Fair play, man. He's done that. Is it Cooper?
Steve Cooper.
That's it. Yeah, he's done a good job. He's done a good job.
Relegation's not an issue for them. I think they'll just keep growing now because the money's there for them. The fan base, the history of the club. Yeah, I think they just need to get a new stadium once they're a bit more stable, which they're already probably thinking of anyway. I think they need a proper stadium, you know, a nice one, big one.
They need to basically stay in the league for a few consecutive years before they
I think
do you know what I mean?
I think they're right now. I think, you know, I think they've got team, they've got players, they've still got the same manager, Steve Cooper. They can easily go and get a foreign manager and, you know, scale it up if they want to. But
yeah,
they play good football, you know, he seems to have it on locks. Their fixture has been quite hard to start off with, so can't really fault them, you know, in
no,
terms
man,
of the
they
start.
Do well. They're doing well, 100%. There's another dud game after that, though. Palace Fulham 0-0. I'll be honest, I don't think there's much to talk about there.
How did you watch that game?
Well, I'm so glad I didn't watch it, honestly. I seen a few chances in the first half, and that's it. It was just dud. Luton Wolves 1-1. Wolves, Luton getting the first points of the season.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
It was a controversial decision for the pen. But
yeah, player got sent off. Wolves.
Yeah, Wolves played.
And then they went 1-0, Neto, and then he done about 100 celebrations in one go. You see that? You know, literally, it's like FIFA, bro. This guy literally pulled out every celebration he had. It's like he hadn't scored for about 5 years, and he probably been thinking like, "Yo, which celebration I do?"
The worst thing he's calling is Luton. No offense to Luton, obviously. It's some games and whatnot. So. You know, we leave that there. Surprising victory for Everton at Brentford. I was watching that game as well, and obviously, I don't know, I just thought Brentford would run out of ideas, weirdly.
2-1? 3-1?
3-1, 3-1, yeah, 3-1.
Yeah.
Can't believe the game on.
The thing with Brentford, if you look at their team, it's shit. Like, it's a shit team. Like, if on paper.
On paper, yeah, it's not Brentford.
Like, it's not a great team. They lost Ivan Toney. They got rid of, I think, one of their other best players in Raya. Fucking loaned him out for some reason. Like, which doesn't make no sense.
Thing is, they bought in that Flecken is obviously, I think he's is he Denmark's number one?
Or
he's
Finnish.
Finnish, sorry. He's Finnish number one, yeah. So
that's not hard, is it, bro? Thinking. Even I can
nah,
be Finnish
you're
number
right,
one.
You're right, but. Well, I mean, do you know what I mean? It's just. They're probably just thinking, look, get some money for a rival.
Bro, they got like 4 million and they loaned him.
Yeah, 3 million loaned you. Crazy.
That's the fucking dumb, bro.
So.
Yeah, I think they could be in the shitters this season, Brentford.
I think, well, obviously not relegated, but you mean lower end.
I think they'll be in the relegation, bro. I think.
That's okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be in the relegation, bro.
Even what? Is this considering Tony's coming back in January?
I heard something today, he might come back earlier because apparently the Brentford owner has an arrangement with FA that allows him to gamble. And obviously that's come out into the limelight of the media. And obviously now questions are raised that why are owners allowed to gamble but players aren't. So I've heard now there's some sort of apparently agreement that he might come into football earlier.
I had his back. I mean, I think he can train in October, I believe. So obviously next
I think week. They might uplift his ban because of all this shit that's coming out with the FA now.
Well, the thing is, obviously, because of what happened to another player who did more charges than him, and obviously got less of a ban. So that's what they're saying. Like, how can obviously he get one ban, but by doing less than what the other person done? So, do you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. It's just used. We all know what it's about, but Jeremy's is nonsense. Yeah. And it's ridiculous, isn't it? But no, fair play to Everton. I mean, they normally get some jammy results sometimes. They beat Brighton, obviously.
Yeah. You never know with these, like, mate. Like,
nah,
they'll go and lose. Who they playing next? They got Luton at home. They'll probably lose.
It's true. It is. It's just the way they, I don't know, they come up with these folly results.
I just don't get it with Everton. They, like, you know, they would be 10th or 10th, like around there, like 12, maybe push up to 9, something like that. Yeah. You know, like, now they're just like constantly 15 to 20.
Yeah, it's true. They found it last 3 years or 2 years, they've definitely been in relegation.
Yeah.
Just scrap in it. And it's just been, I don't know how to even, I don't know what to make of their club because it's funny. I'm just thinking, I'm laughing right now, but they could possibly be in the championship with the new stadium.
Yeah,
100%. It's just random. I don't know how.
I think they've got it enough in them to just keep grinding.
But it'll come a time, like Sunderland did this a few years ago as well. They used to always come out of it.
Yeah.
The relegation, and then they eventually went down. I just feel like that's the same with Everton. Eventually, their luck will run out.
Mm.
But I don't know. Obviously, they got Luton, like you said, at home. So it's key for them to get results. So if they can get back-to-back wins, that's one of the main, that's one of the main things with them, isn't it? So obviously we spoke about United, Burnley. Chelsea losing at home again.
Yeah.
I can't back these guys anymore, you know. I don't know what to make of this team, bro. Honestly, 1 billion and one, obviously all the cliches, 1 billion spent, etc. But seriously, they look so shit, bro. They look like Everton. Do
you know what
they look like and play like Everton. It's just Villa, obviously, they're doing some good bits in the transfer window. One, I got a good squad of players, but it's quite not disturbing, but it's a bit upsetting that we have to talk more about Chelsea than Villa. Do you know what I mean? Fair play to Villa.
I think obviously from Chelsea's perspective, I think that red card changed the game. You know, for them, I think they were playing all right, not too bad.
Did you see the challenge?
I saw the challenge. It wasn't a red. I think it was a bit shocking for them. I think he got the ball first, and then obviously followed through it in. It's a yellow card, but not a red.
Was it what, from behind or was
no,
it...
front forward? He got the ball. It was not the best decision. But yeah, I think that fucked the game for them. They didn't get any luck. It's quite it was in the second half.
Okay.
Even if you look at their bench, like it's a load of shit, bro. Like they got Cucurella on the bench. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible.
You don't know any of their players, bro. Like they got you'll probably know about two. They got a goalkeeper called Petrovic. They got some guy called David Washington. Then they've got some guy called Bergstrom. Then they've got Mattsson. Who the fuck are these guys, bro?
Mattsson, I kind of know, but again.
Then obviously, man's bringing on Ben Chilwell, bro, as his like attacker for Modric. Yeah, and then it's Cole Palmer, he's brought from Man City, Borja. And then you've got Hugo Chukwu.
Chukwemeka?
Some Hugo Chukwu. I don't know, bro.
Leslie?
This guy's gone and bought like crazy amount of young players, man, but not enough first teamers.
The thing is, I've heard about their injury list is pretty crazy, but the thing is, I don't feel sorry for them because look at the amount they spent or wasted. Look at the amount they've wasted on players, and look, they've Lavia and Kunku, Reece James, Fofana, Chukwemeka, Chalobah.
That first team is still good enough, but the problem is they don't play the style of football that he put Caldwell left back now and Ben Chilwell.
This has been happening since the start.
And he's played like Chilwell in some random. But the simple thing is just play a 4-3-3 formation. You know, like either you play Caldwell or you don't. You know, so if you want to play him, you play him, or just put Ben Chilwell left back.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as.
Yeah.
You know, and then I don't know why you've got Conor Gallagher playing in that midfield. He's a load of shit. I'd rather have Cole Palmer playing. I'll tell Enzo, you sit. Cole Palmer, you play in that cam. And then I think the rest of the team kind of picks itself with Sterling, Mudrick and Jackson. I think you have to just keep playing them. The unfortunate thing for Chelsea is their fixtures.
Coming up?
Yeah. Mm. So I think they've got obviously Brighton, EFL Cup. At home, which they could get away with that if knowing roulette, De Zerbi roulette, you know, what kind of team this guy plays on.
Yeah, exactly.
Which he is going to rotate, but that's not to say that rotated.
Their fixtures are terrible.
Like, they got Fulham away, a late kickoff. So that's not easy. Craven Cottage is going to be popping, you know, so I don't know what's going to happen there. Then they got Burnley away, which they could get a result. You know, I think you would expect
it's
them.
It's probably the one place you kind of want to go to right now, essentially.
See, the thing with them, given their fixtures, unfortunately for them, they're going to have to go get results at Fulham, Burnley,
mm-hmm.
and they have to beat you at home.
Well, this is the bridge. The third game's at home against Arsenal in the next
Yeah, game. They have to beat you there.
Yeah, and then they have to.
Brentford, they can probably do. Tottenham, you could lose, fine. Man City, you can lose, fine. Newcastle, again, you can lose that. But if you don't win those four games before, mate,
you're in pressure, bro. You're in pressure. Because obviously after that, you said, obviously, they got St. James's Park. They got Brighton at home again, but in the league, which is more difficult, they go to Old Trafford. And if you guys are in good form by then, that's a long day as well.
Straight after that, you've got Everton away. Then you've got the legendary Sheffield United.
Goodison Park's never easy as well. Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, you see, it's too early to say I don't think
you sacked the guy. They've already gone through that last season. They went through three managers last season. Doesn't matter. Stick with the guy now. You know, like, he's not, obviously, he's had a bit of unluck. Well, he's been unlucky with injuries. He's obviously got fucking, like, new players that probably don't know anyone or know even how to gel. Tactics are all new. You just have to ride it. You know, even if it goes shit to shit, you just have to keep riding it. If you want to sack him, I say you sack him at end of season. You know, that you make a decision then.
Yeah, give him a chance to actually be able to.
Yeah, don't sack him like now or something. He has to have the ability to turn things around.
There's usually no one they can bring in.
Yeah, right now there's no one. No one wants to take that job as well.
None.
If you remember when they were trying to get Poch, someone rejected them, I think. Luis Enrique rejected them. There was another manager. Nagelsmann said no. There was another guy as well, I think. Quite a big name. He said no. So
it's one of them ones where, you know, if Poch wasn't in the job and they sacked the manager, you'd say go get Poch.
Yeah.
Poch is the manager right now, so why would you do the same? Do you know what I mean? It's one of them. They need to be able to believe in what Poch is doing, because I think he came out in an interview recently and he said that.
Spoke about lemons.
Did he say about lemons? I was just gonna say that it took about a couple of years for kind of Spurs to reap the benefits of what to do. What did he say about lemons?
Yeah, some random quote, bro. It was something like, you have different lemons. You have lemons that come from Spain. You have lemons that come from Italy. You have lemons that come from South America. Then you have blue lemons. You have normal lemons. And sometimes you get green lemon as well, and I was like, what is this going on about? I got the gist of it, but I don't think the terminology that he was using was probably the best to describe
the situation. You know what,
obviously people are gonna take the piss out of him for that now.
Moving on from Chelsea, who else have we got?
Liverpool, they won 3-1.
Oh yeah, Liverpool won 3-1.
I think they'll form more of a challenge than Arsenal this season, and that's straight facts. They've been there, done it. You know, they can get results that Arsenal can't. You know, that Tottenham game yesterday.
At home, yeah, Liverpool would have won.
They would have won. You look at that team now. You know, that after that Newcastle win, that was a momentous change in their season. You know, they're getting the job done. They're just the steam rolling now. The goals are coming in. Like, they're not conceding that much.
They're attacking threats. They're rotating. Choke as well.
And they're rotating as well up top. You know, Nunez is coming off the bench. He's getting a couple of goals. You know, he's like, I want to start playing. He's not still in the team. You still got Gakpo there.
He started this game, so he kind of reaped the benefits. Obviously, he scored as well. So
yeah, you got Jota is coming in. Jota and Diaz are fighting for that position. Then you've got all these other additions like Curtis Jones, Elliot. Gakpo, you know, Gravenbach is not even in the team now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still gonna. He will probably play a part, Gravenbach. You know, so you know, I think they will, in my opinion, I think pose a bigger threat than I think what you guys will. It's purely because of that.
The firepower.
When you think of that, yeah, just that firepower. Like, Liverpool's that team where they have that thing that Man City, you know, when they go 1-0 down, they go to like gear fucking 7, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they'll be on gear 1.
Robbo, Roland,
they'll turn it up,
it's crazy.
They'll turn it up. And like at home, I can't see them dropping many points at home, you know. So look, they played 3-1-3, you know. Arsenal, you guys have already dropped 2 points at home. You know, that's where you make a fortress at home. You know, and unfortunately, I feel like you've already lost one too many points at home.
Nah, we've lost some ground, most definitely.
Yeah, like those.
The thing with Liverpool, though, is I'm worried about their defensive options. That's what gets me, because obviously to win the league, you've got to be defensively solid.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're going to challenge. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they'll challenge, I think.
No, I think it's not a mad thing to say that they'll probably be finish second ahead of us this season. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But my worry is, I mean, it's a worry for Arsenal as well, because we have Timber up, but I just worry for Liverpool's defence, especially in the six, because I don't know who plays them. I mean, McAllister's played there, but he's not great, because he's not a natural six, especially a lone six. And then you've got Endo, who doesn't look great. So it's kind of like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might work, it might not work.
I think what you'll start to see, which I think will work, just because of the type of football they play and obviously what they're trying to do at the back, is, you know, you'll see Gravenberch come into this midfield. Szoboszlai is an absolute engine. You know,
he
can cover ground that is unreal. Then you've got McAllister, who can cover ground. And then you've got Gravenberch, who's exactly the same. You know, he can cover ground. He's box to box, you know, on that front. And McAllister will drop deeper. And Gravenberch and Szoboszlai will just be the dogs going up and back. And both offensively and defensively, they're both good. You know, they can actually defend and actually make tackles and still at the same time go forward. And then you'll see Trent from right back coming into that position. And obviously offering further support, you know, into that middle. And that's where they'll kind of they'll compensate from having an actual proper DM where they had Fabinho last year.
They'll just have more bodies instead of obviously having...
Exactly. And just more legs. They'll just have more legs.
Exactly.
And the front three is still, you know, explosive and great as what it, you know, not what it once was, but it's still firing, you know.
Yeah. Obviously, we spoke about it last week, where Salah's obviously changed his game now into more of a creator
and
just a goal scorer. Nunes is, I mean, last season he was still good. It was just obviously he didn't take his chances. Now this season, they're just, obviously Liverpool fans are hoping that he just takes more chances.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, because his threat is always there. His pace, his power is just... Do you know what I mean? I don't even know his unpredictability. Just, do you know what I mean? You don't know what he's going to do. And Diaz is just efficient as always anyway. So.
Well, I think next game is a big game. You know, they got Tottenham away at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Obviously, it's a big game for both teams, because now if Tottenham mean business, you beat Liverpool at home.
Yeah.
And if Liverpool mean business, you beat Tottenham away.
Exactly.
So I think that'll be a cracker. You know, both teams are going to go for it. You know, they're both going to want that 3 points.
Liverpool's next three games are difficult, to be fair. They go Spurs away, and then obviously in the league, they go Brighton away as well. And then they go the Merseyside derby at home. I mean, at home, obviously, they usually just win. But again, still, it's a derby. So,
yeah,
it's true. It's true. Their next three games could...
I think the only thing that fucks them is the Europa League, because of just how that shit...
The timing
functions
of games
itself,
the timing
of games, and it's just a shit fucking competition, bro. If you're top 4, 6 team, whatever, in the Premier League, like, that's not where you want to be.
No,
you'd rather not be in it. You'd rather not be in that comp.
100%. Brighton, comfortable win against Bournemouth at home, 3-1 in the end. Not really much to say on there, to be fair.
Yeah, but
Newcastle winning 8-0. I mean, it's Sheffield United away, no offense, but still 8-0.
Yeah, I watched that game, and like from the first minute, you could just tell, like, this is going to be a rampage. Like,
is it?
You could probably tell, like, 4, you know, but they scored the first one, floodgates were open, bro. They scored the second one, like, within a couple of minutes straight after. Then from that, the third one went in. And by like half an hour, it's 3 up. And you're thinking, fucking hell, bro, it could be 5 by halftime.
It was 3-0 at halftime, right? I think.
Yeah, so they got away with it, 3. And then you probably would have thought, okay, cool, now Sheffield United just game manager now.
Damage limitation.
Like, yeah, just damage that ship. Limit that fucking ship, bro. Like, and started off all right. And then again got caught out, and that was it. Floodgates opened again.
I've seen some first of the goals. Goal. Oh my goodness! Just like score, just go.
Yeah.
No defense. So I was thinking, what is going on?
He has to go, man.
They're gonna get in, bro.
You can't, like, if you wanna, you can't lose 8-0, bro. Like,
no, but the problem is,
players are not gonna have no respect for this guy.
No, but I feel so sorry for him, yeah, because they came in, yeah, they lost their top goal scorer before they got, 2 weeks before the season started, I believe. He went to Marseille, and they never bought anyone in. They never signed any players to even challenge, do you mean, to stay in the league. They've done nothing for the guy.
They bought Archer from Bournemouth.
Yeah. Was it not from Villa? Was it Villa?
Oh, yeah, Villa, yeah.
Villa it was, yeah. But again, that was last minute. Do you mean, like, I think they played already a couple of games, so...
He's shit as well.
That's what I mean. It's like, do you know what I mean? I think his name was Ndai.
Ndai.
So, do you know what I mean? They prep for the players. So, I mean, I'm not... Well, Luton and Sheffield United had them done to go down anyway.
Yeah.
At the start of the season. So, I don't really... Yeah. I don't really know how to really solve that. Obviously, Newcastle needed a result. I was looking at Burnley's squad. I think they're championship level squad. I mean, I put Everton in there just because I thought they were going to run out of luck.
Yeah, I don't think it would be tight as last season, like that relegation battle.
That's a little because the teams by March.
Maybe. Yeah, because the teams that have come up from the championship, they're too shit. It's like the old days, you know, in Derby,
yeah,
no, Norwich,
yeah, yeah.
Norwich, them man used to come.
West Brom.
Yeah, yeah. QPR and them man, they try and stay, but they're not gonna stay.
Nah.
Like last season, Fulham, Forest, these men were there, we ain't going nowhere, bro.
We're
here to stay.
Legit. They spent the money right, innit? And correct.
Spent the money right, they played a good football, you know, so they had the foundation set. And obviously now they're just kind of like progressing. So yeah, I don't think obviously next season I think it'll be the same, you know, when Leicester come back up. Leicester,
fingers crossed,
I don't think they're not going to go nowhere as well. That first season, I think they'll survive, you know, because Leicester already kind of been there, done it. It's kind of like, this is my space.
They know, you know, it's not to stay in the division. They know it's no.
Yeah, it's kind of like with Leicester, they shouldn't have got relegated in the first fucking place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So obviously they are.
They want to make amends for obviously not being in the league for one year, especially.
But.
They sound some good players as well. I mean, we're talking about obviously if they do come up next year. But this is the thing. I mean, if you look at Forest, if you look at Brentford, they've done the right things to stay in the league and make progress.
Yeah, I think Brentford is. They might get away with it this season because the other teams are too shit.
Yeah.
I reckon next season, if Leicester and maybe one more good team, you know, like Leicester comes up, I think Brentford could be done up, bro, because they're going to have to spend a lot of money to get that squad up to standard where the rest of the teams are.
This is the thing. If they lose someone like Tony, who's obviously so
like a
bagsman for them. Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, I hope he comes to Arsenal.
I'd take him.
I'd take him in a heartbeat if he comes to Arsenal. Bro.
Nah, you already got like five strikers, bro.
No, you taking Katie off us, yeah?
Fuck that guy, bro.
You got Hoyland. Why do you need Tony? You got Hoyland.
Bro, we got one guy, bro. Martial is done.
You got Rashford.
Rashford's a winger, bro.
Rashford's got bare goals.
You got Saka, bro. Why did you need Tony?
Nah, Saka's on striker.
Yeah,
we got Odegaard as well. You got Martinelli. You got Jesus.
Havertz. Bro, this guy can play up striker as well, Havertz.
Yeah, but he can't. He's scored on goals. He's got more goals than fuck. He do nothing for us, Havertz.
007.
Do you know what? I think he's all right. He's just, do you know what I mean? He's going to be a monkey on his back for a time, especially with the fee and whatnot and his performances at Chelsea. So I actually think he's all right. Not 65 million, all right, but do you know what I mean? I think he can provide
as a squad.
Yeah, as a squad. I'll take him for 40 million. I would have paid 40 million for him.
But he's not a starter.
No way. I just can't see him, especially in that eight role that Xhaka played so well last season.
Yeah. He's nonsense, this guy, bro.
Big shoes to fill. Right. That's another Premier League roundup. Jay, anything else to say before we go?
No, I think that's it.
Nothing? All right. Well, we appreciate you guys for listening. If you enjoyed the content, obviously like the video, leave us a review on Spotify and all of that stuff. And we'll catch you in the next one. Cheers.